Chapter 41. Christoph. I was in and out of sleep all night, not so much because of my pain, which faded away to nothing more than an annoyance, but because Katala and Sahar came in throughout the night. I appreciated the interruption, though, as they spoke healing spells over Jasmina and me, but mostly over Caris. The djinn and the fairy laid in beds next to me, but both slept throughout the night, even when Katala and Sahar came in to heal them. Jasmina seemed to sleep soundly, and the bruises on her skin started to fade along with the wound from my dagger. Caris, though, tossed and turned in her sleep and occasionally let out cries of pain or fear as I assumed she relived her time in captivity with Zillin. Who knows how long he imprisoned and tortured her? I just hoped she would make a full recovery. The close bond that she and Jasmina shared, one that I suspected went beyond simple friendship, was the reason for Caris getting involved in all this. And I also hoped Jasmina would not blame herself for the fairy's fate. As I watched the darkened sky lighten through the nearby window, I thought about the day ahead of us. I would return to the fight, no matter what condition I was in, but I hoped I would be as good as new before leaving the infirmary. I would need to be in prime shape if I wanted to use my power fully, and there was no doubt in my mind I'd need to do that to defeat Zillin and the monster he had awoken. The door to the infirmary cracked open to interrupt my thoughts, and Sahar appeared. She came over to check on Caris and Jasmina, and when she saw I was awake, she smiled.
"You healed fast, Lightbearer,"
she told me as she came over to my bed and looked at the marks on my torso. "Thanks to you and Katala," I smiled at her.
"Actually, we haven't done all that much. I'd say it's all thanks to your new body."
The sorceress leaned down, kissed my forehead, and then turned around to check on the sleeping Jasmina. "So I regenerate too? Like Rosie does with her blood?" I asked as I eyed the marks that were once open wounds.
"It looks like it. Whatever you are, you've got some pretty handy abilities."
She winked at me and then let a spell roll over the djinn.
"Will they be okay?"
I asked Sahar as I watched her work. Blue light transferred from Sahar's hands into Jasmina's body.
"I don't exactly know how your blade and powers affected Jasmina, but her energy feels strong. I think it will take a lot more than that to kill a djinn,"
Sahar commented. "And what about Caris?" I asked, concerned for the fairy's well-being.
"I don't know how long he tortured her, or what all Zillin did to her,"
Sahar said softly as she looked at the fairy. Caris' face contorted in pain even as she slept.
"Fear not, for Katala will keep a close watch on her."
Sahar finished her spell on Jasmina and sent the same blue magic flowing through Caris. The fairy's face relaxed, and she fell into a more restful sleep. That gave me at least some hope that she would be all right. From what I had heard and experienced, Katala had healing skills that almost rivaled Sahar's abilities, and that said a lot. As Sahar finished her spell on Caris, the infirmary door opened, and Katala came in dressed in long, colorful robes. She wore her feathered headpiece and a smile on her lips as she walked over, carrying her staff in her right hand.
"How are you feeling, Christoph?"
Her voice was deep and rough, but it was also soothing. Just being in the witch doctor's presence made me feel relaxed, like I knew as long as she was around, my friends and I would be in excellent hands. As I smiled back at her and looked at her wrinkled hand gripped onto her staff, I wondered how many lives her hands had saved. "I'm feeling great," I beamed at her. "Thank you, Katala."
"That's good to hear,"
she chuckled.
"I was telling Sahar you're about the strangest patient I've ever had. We barely had to use any magic on you. Your body mostly repaired itself."
"Yeah, that's new to me, too," I admitted.
"I think we should try something,"
Katala suggested as she looked at me, then Sahar. Sahar nodded to her.
Try to use your light to fully heal your wounds, Kristoff.
I've never done anything like that before. Do you think I can? I asked.
If your new body can passively repair itself like that, then maybe you can use your light to heal too.
Sahar encouraged me.
Try,
Katala coaxed. I nodded at their encouragement and easily slipped into meditation, where it was just me and the light within me. I pictured the marks on my torso and sent my light to that area of my body. It grew warm, so I opened my eyes and my body glowed almost brighter than it had before, especially where the marks were. But that glow and the marks themselves slowly faded until they disappeared, good as new. It worked, I gasped. Sahar gave me one of her knowing smiles.
You're almost more mysterious than I am.
Almost, I smiled back. I swung my legs off from the bed, feeling rested, healed, and ready to take on the world. But before leaving the infirmary, I went to Jasmina's bed and grabbed one of her bruised hands. Sahar followed after me, no doubt intuiting what I was about to do, and she and Katala stretched their arms over the djinn and let their healing spells flow. As they did so, I let my light pass from me and into the djinn. My glow transferred to her hand before cycling through her entire body. The bruises that had marred my skin faded away, and cuts morphed into pristine condition until Jasmina's pale body radiated with a faint glow. Next, I went to Carrie's, but when I grabbed her hand, I flinched. She's in a lot of pain. I could feel her physical and emotional distress pulsing out of her, but I wouldn't let that stop me from soothing that distress. I closed my eyes, and my healing light washed over the fairy. Whether or not she could hear it, I spoke to her in my mind, telling her everything would be all right. When I opened my eyes, I watched her now glowing body heal as my light mended the worst of her cuts and bruises. Unfortunately, not even my power could fully heal her, but at least she looked more peaceful in her sleep.
Don't worry, Lightbearer. I will take care of her.
Katala comforted me. She came over and took my hand that had been holding Carrie's.
How do you feel?
Sahar asked me. I wiggled my fingers and checked in with my body after using my powers. I feel fine.
You must be getting stronger,
Sahar mused.
Good.
I thanked Sahar and Katala again and left the infirmary, hoping Jasmina and Carrie's would soon be awake and okay. They had been through a lot. We all had. Katala and Sahar predicted it could take some time for them, especially Carrie's, to wake up. Even then, the fairy would have to work through the mental trauma Zillin had put her through. Still, that gave me hope for their ultimate healing. I descended the carpeted stairs to the floor my room was on, eager to see Rosmarin. I hated spending the nights away from her. I knew she probably spent most of the night worrying about me. It was still early. The sun had only just peeked over the horizon, and I glanced at it out of one of the large golden-paned windows. While it looked to be another beautiful day, it would be the day that decided the fate of us all. Fear swam around inside me, but something else was there too. Quiet confidence shot through my veins, like some kind of elixir, calming the fires of anxiety. I was the light bearer. I had used my powers enough, and now, with the help of my new dagger, I would put a stop to Zillin. Sure, he was a shadowmancer, but I held the power of light, the true enemy of darkness. Before even knowing anything about my powers, I had defeated zombies and demons. By no means did I think the fight would be easy, but I had more tools to use now, and I had that confidence. Not only in myself, but in my friends. I slowly opened the door to my room. Sparkling sunlight basked the room in gold. Rosmarin still lay in bed, sound asleep. I went to her,
my sleeping queen, and leaned over her. I brushed her dark hair out of her face. She looked perfect. Flawless. I wanted to look at her beautiful face like this for eternity. She stirred, and I leaned down and sealed her lips with a kiss. Her silver eyes fluttered open, and then she threw her arms around me and pulled me down onto her. She kissed me passionately as tears slid from her eyes.
"Kristoff," she breathed, "you're all right."
I locked our lips in another fiery kiss and pressed my body against hers. Letting a hand run down her figure, I planted kisses along her cheek and down her neck. A soft moan escaped her, desire flaring in both of us. I could hardly even remember the last time we had shared an intimate moment. I pulled back and looked into her shining eyes and saw the passion burning there. She stripped off her nightgown. I took her in, all of her, as she laid bare in the sunlight. I let my hand play up and down her body until she pulled me back to her. She nibbled at my lip and then moved to my ear, something that drove me crazy. I groaned in pleasure, spurring the vampire on. She nibbled my neck as she tugged at my clothes, willing me to remove them. I pulled my shirt over my head, and then she fumbled with my pants. I slid out of them, and before I could crawl back onto her, Rosmarin pushed me on my back and mounted me, her warm body enveloping me as I slid inside her. Another moan of pure pleasure rushed out of her. She looked angelic as the sunlight framed her porcelain skin. Her black hair rolled down her slender body in ripples. She bent down over me. Her hair softly brushed my face as she kissed me fiercely, and I burned for her. For her body. Her mind. Her soul. I wanted all of her. Forever. I tried not to think about the task that lay before us as Rosmarin moved her body on mine. I wanted to make sure that if this was the last moment we had together, that she knew how much I loved her. Tears streamed from my eyes and she kissed me. Her kiss was like a silent wish that bound us together, sealing our souls even more than they already were, if such a thing were possible. "I love you, Rosmarin," I whispered.
"I love you too."
She continued riding me. Slowly and sensually. Every part of my being tingled with love and worship, and at that moment, I felt more than just passion. I would do anything for her, and I would fight all the armies of the world if it meant keeping her safe. In one swift movement, I flipped her over and drove myself deeper into her soft body. She screamed and pulled at my hair. Her body vibrated with the anticipation. I ran my fingers through her hair and watched her face reflect how her body felt. Her silver eyes slid open and locked onto mine. We gazed at each other as our bodies moved as one, connected by an unbreakable bond. I grabbed the gold headboard and thrust into Rosmarin, sending waves of ravishing pleasure vibrating through me. She pushed her hips up into me, and we moved faster until the entire bed shook with our rhythms. Her moans turned to soft shrieks as I jutted into her deeper and faster. We became one soul in two bodies, and as I thrust into her again, she screamed as she climaxed, as my own body vibrated as I finished. We lay in each other's arms, tears pooling in our eyes as we wrestled with so many emotions. I held Rosmarin close to me and stroked her hair for a while, but the rising sun kept reminding us of the terrible day ahead. Finally, we wiped each other's tears away and shared another embrace before leaving the comfort and safety of our bed. Rosmarin had entered the bathroom, and I was dressing when I heard a commotion in the hallway. People were running through the halls, shouting. A loud crack on the door made me jump, but I quickly flung it open with a dagger in my hand. Lynx, with his shimmering black fur, stood in the hallway panting. "What the hell is going on?" I yelled at him.
"Reinforcements are here. They're at the northern wall."
Rosmarin heard the noise and ran out of the bathing room to hear the news.
"Onyx and Erwin are back,"
she exclaimed. We finished dressing and gathered what little provisions we would need for our third and final trek to Tenochtitlan, provided the sorcerer wasn't already marching toward Nahuatl. Even if he was, we were ready. Constanta had arrived. We sprinted through the halls with the rest of the council, who had also heard the news. My heart filled even more as I saw Rachel and Sahar. I had never realized my body could hold so much love for people, and now that we were all about to be reunited with Onyx and Erwin, I felt the fire of pure love burn inside me. Lynx and Jace were with us, as was Michaela. She nodded at me and smiled. I clapped Jace on the back, happy to have the werewolf with me again. We exited the castle and ran through the gardens to the stables. After eagerly saddling up our mounts, we raced from the castle hill and through the city streets towards the northern wall. The wall appeared in no time. My heart raced in anticipation of seeing my friends and my army. I wondered how many reinforcements Onyx brought, and nothing could prepare me for what I saw after riding through the red gates. Onyx and Erwin, looking like esteemed war generals, sat on their horses just beyond the wall with a sea of soldiers behind them. Their silver armor glinted in the sun, so I had to squint as I looked out upon the thousands of them. Blue and silver flags with a crescent moon flapped in the wind. Constanta had come. We rode out to Onyx and Erwin and dismounted our horses. I ran to them and clashed with Onyx in a cheerful hug. "Welcome back, Onyx," I beamed at her.
"And not a moment too soon,"
Rosmarin called as she came up to hug Onyx. I hugged Erwin next, not realizing how much I had missed her until I saw her sparkling smile.
"You made it," I breathed into her as I squeezed her.
When we had given Onyx and Erwin enough hugs, we briefed them on the grim situation. "Well, our trip to the ruins was even worse than the first time," I commented.
"Yeah, Kukulkan is real," Rachel chimed in. "He's flying around the ruins, or possibly even this way as we speak."
"Then what are we waiting for?"
Onyx, the Doombringer, growled.
"The rest of the Nahuatl forces left at first light,"
Lynx informed us.
"Perfect. We'll be right on their heels if we leave now,"
Erwin added.
I took a deep breath. This was it. This was why we had traveled the long way south. We had to defeat Zilin and Kukulkan, or Nahuatl would be lost, and after that, Constanta and the world.
We nodded and steadied ourselves as we glanced around at each other, the council with our new companions, and a whole host of soldiers behind us.
"For Nahuatl,"
I screamed.